in fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums.
CRIMEWAV. You're rolling with the Crime Wave, the internet's first and only podcast devoted to the crime short story. I'm Seth Harwood, your host, the first name in crime podcast fiction, and I'm ready to bring you this week's story. The Crime Wave is produced by Mystery Dog, Aldo Calcagno, and it is not safe for your minivans. That means it might contain swearing, violence, and all types of shit.
Consider yourselves warned.
Check out Rhonda Noir.
Okay, a bit of background to the story. Rhonda Noir was originally published under the title of Rhonda Lives on the excellent Twist of Noir webzine. But I've revisited the story since then and lengthened a few scenes and changed the pacing slightly, and it's now gone under the title of Rhonda Noir. Rhonda Noir by Gary Dobbs. What the fuck had I gotten myself into this time? If Mickey hadn't drunk so much earlier and had been better able to control his bladder, it wouldn't have come to this. I looked at the two maniacs seated next to me. They were tooled up and acted as if they were going on a Sunday outing, which they most certainly weren't, rather than getting ready to pull off a big cash heist, which they most certainly were. The job, I said. Time is important.
I know, but a fucking job, Mickey said and prodded his sawn off into my ribs as if to illustrate the point in a rather unpleasant fashion. Don't have to tell me about the job. I ain't no fucking greaseball. I'm a pro.
Well, there you are, then, I said.
But I need a piss now, he insisted.
Look, I pleaded. We drive in a stolen van. We're all armed. We're on our way to hold up a Securico van at a pre-designated fucking point in time. We're going against the clock as it is.
It'll only take a fucking second.
Mickey screwed up his face and became meanness personified. I'm fucking busting. It'll be okay, Raza, the other loony said. There's no way the van been's made yet.
He'll piss real quick.
I couldn't give a fuck if he pisses at supersonic rate, I snapped. Raza was right about the van, though. There was no way it had been reported yet. He'd stolen it himself only an hour ago, and then after weeks of surveillance. The owner parked it in the multi-story at 7:30 each morning and didn't return until well after 6 in the evening, sometimes later, but never earlier. We had hours before he noticed the van would have gone and telephoned the filth. When you gotta go, you gotta go, Raza said and shrugged his shoulders. I sighed.
I can't be threatening no fucker with my shooter in one hand and my legs all bent up to stop me pissing myself, Mickey said. I look like a fucking joke.
He's got a pint, Raza said and laughed. Can't have him leaving no piss at the scene. DNA fuckers can find out amazing things from a single drop of piss.
Yeah?
Mickey turned to Raza, eager to hear more despite himself. Nah, Raza smiled and rolled himself a smoke. I'm taking the piss.
Fuck you,
Mickey said, and lifted his shooter up and pointed it at Raza, who hit it away with one hand and slapped Mickey across the face with the other.
Wait,
I yelled. This was getting too absurd. It always amazed me how men like these, hard men, could stay calm in such crazy situations. Me, I was shitting bricks, but then I had my reason. Timing was everything on this job. A split second could mean all the difference between success and failure, and to fail would mean a long stretch at Her Majesty's pleasure, which was not something I wanted to experience ever again.
Where?
I asked. Where do you want to take a piss?
Anywhere,
Mickey shrugged and then squeezed his bollocks to illustrate the point.
I can take a slosh by the side of the road.
Good thinking, I said. And some copper comes along, and what do you tell him? How the fuck do you explain the guns and the stockings in the glove box?
Fuck you, Mickey shrugged. I'll fucking piss you.
He lifted his arse off the seat and yanked his jogging pants down, pulling his flaccid cock up over the waistband. He would, too. I'd shared a cell with him once. He had no problem shitting in front of me, so it would be a doodle to take a leak here and now. Piece of piss, really. Piss over me and I'll fucking kill you, Raza said, holding his gun up, not caring that it was now visible to any oncoming traffic through the windscreen. He meant it, too. If piss started to spurt from Mickey's sorry-looking knob, he'd pull the trigger, leaving far more DNA than the urine would.
Fuck,
I said, and pulled the van over. There had to be easier ways to make a living. I'd never worked with these two before, and made a vow never to do so again. I'd met Mickey on the inside. I'd been serving 3 years for holding up a post office. He'd been in for breaking some plod's nose when the cops stepped in between him and the pedo he was kicking the shit out of. He was hard as nails, and out of self-preservation, I'd quickly struck up a friendship with him. Soon after that, he became a cellmate. It meant that the other cons, especially the sausage jockeys, left me alone. Don't fuck with me, or you'll get Mental Mickey, as he was called, onto you. No one wanted to tangle with Mental Mickey. Razzard had come through Mickey. I'd only met him last Thursday in Kudos Bar, but he'd been close friends with Mickey since they were kids, so that seemed okay. Apparently they'd done Borstal and some grown-up jail together. I'd looked Mickey up as soon as I'd been released. He'd gotten out a few months before me. I had his address in Pontypridd, which was only a few miles from me, and so I set up a meeting, and Mickey had brought his mate, the more-than-mental Razza. At the time, that had been okay with me. Three men seemed good. Two gunmen to pull off the blag, and a driver, me, waiting with the engine running and the wheels spinning in eagerness for the clutch to be released. I'd outlined the job to them. Every last Friday of the month, the Securico van would be carrying a large cash haul from the casino, over $1 million, according to my sources, and I knew the perfect place to hit it. The van had to come down through the Rhondda and take the diversion caused by the roadworks at Porth Square. That would take the van up over the old mine road. Now, if we hit it in Treafod, stopped it, overpowered the guards and the driver, grabbed the cash, we'd be able to make good our escape down the sidings, which were never used these days, since the old road had deteriorated to the point that it was now little more than a dirt track, and be well away before the coppers reacted to an emergency call. The other point in our favour was that the Securico driver, Stan, was in with the deal, and would dissuade the guards from being heroes. Stan was 55-year-old, with a dodgy ticker, and figured he was owed more than the meagre pension he had ahead of him. It was going to be easy, and I planned on taking my share of the money and getting out of this life, making something of myself. All so very simple. Nothing could go wrong, except for the fact that we had to be parked up on the tump, waiting for the mobile money box at a precise time. If we missed it, then the run wouldn't happen for another month, and Stan, who was due to retire to ill health in a week's time. This was a once-in-a-lifetime's opportunity. Which brings me to, we parked at the side of the road in Dinas. I'm smoking a ciggy, Raza's sitting there looking all relaxed, not a care in the world, and Mickey's over by the curb, pissing against the wall. Nirvana's on the radio, Teen Spirits, one of my favourites, but I'm too nervous to feel the vibe. Suddenly, Lady Luck turns vicious. Chance of all chances, but at that moment, a community policeman, a hobby bobby for Christ's sake, comes around the corner and stands staring at Mickey as his penis directed a steady flow of urine against the wall. There was never a fucking copper about when you needed one, but when you didn't need one, well, you get the picture. 3 weeks earlier, I'd stood in the snooker club, smiling like a loon. I'd just potted yellow to black straight through, cleared the fucking table. I scooped the 20 quid from a cushion and pocketed the cash. "Anyone else want a chance there, arm?" I asked, all arrogant. End of the day, I had the right to a little ego. I was a fucking wizard on the green cloth. As my father always said, if you've got it, flaunt it. And I was seriously flaunting. "Maybe another time," Stan said and tapped me on the back. "Come on. I want to talk to you. You can use that 20 quid to get the drinks in." "Just as well," I said. I just seriously kicked his ass on the table, and there were no other takers in the pub. Still, I was 20 quid up, so I could afford a round of drinks. We went to the bar, and after I'd gotten the drinks in, Stan directed us to a quiet corner table. "So what's up, Stan?" I asked, and rolled myself a smoke. We all ignored the draconian smoking ban in this place. I took a sip of my warm Welsh beer and looked at Stan. He'd been big mates with my father, and after the old man had died, I'd often bumped into him in the local. We chatted. He'd known me since I was a snobby-nosed nipper on the rob, and I kind of liked him. He was of the old school, a good guy. He was also as crooked as they came, but I didn't hold that against him, since we all were in the Rhondda Valleys. It had always been a case of us against them, and always would be. He went straight for the kill, telling me how long he'd worked for Securico, about the crap wages, about how he was skint, reminded me of how he'd helped my old man out with a few money problems more than once. He went on about his desire to see out his days living with his brother over in Spain, and of how difficult it was going to be on his pittance of a company pension. And then came the plan, his glorious fucking plan, and he reeled me in as a fisherman would his catch. And now this carefully detailed plan looked in danger of blowing up in our faces because Mickey couldn't contain his fucking bladder. Fuck, 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 I said, over and over again beneath my breath until the word became one long verbal snake. Chill. Raza grabbed my wrist. Chill, man. I closed my eyes and took a deep breath and mouthed a silent prayer. Please, Lord, just this once, let this work out and I'll go straight. Fuck, I'll give my share of the loot to the orphans. Just get me out of this. I clenched my fist tightly and watched the pig, who in turn stood watching Mickey. Chill, Raza said again. He was starting to get on my tit. What do you think we were, a couple of homeboys in a Spike Lee movie? Chill, I said. I'm going to have a fucking heart attack. Raza actually smiled at that. The pig's not going to do anything, he said. He'll bollock Mickey, and that'll be it. We'll be on our way in a second. Chill, chill, chill. I hope you're right. I had a feeling in my gut as I watched as the policeman approached Mickey, who had finally finished relieving himself and was shaking the drippers from his knob. The pig was only young. A kid, really. He looked like a fucking Boy Scout. He said something to Mickey, but I couldn't hear what he was saying. All we could do was sit there, virtually holding our breath. The policeman smiled at Mickey, shook his head, and then looked directly at the van. My heart skipped a beat and I tensed. Chill, Raza said again, this time with more menace in his voice, and he dug his fingers into my arms as we stared out of the windscreen. We were going to have to play this out now, see what happened. The policeman came over to the van and stood by my window. He made a motion with his hand for me to open the window. Mickey came up behind him, which didn't seem to bother the young cop that much. It was obvious to me that the cop was inexperienced in his job, little more than a fresh rookie, and he'd left himself wide open to attack from behind. I wound my window down, and trying to remain calm, look at the policeman. "What's the problem, officer?" I asked.
"Your friends say you're in a rush," the policeman said. "That he was caught short."
Yeah, I smiled my most charming smile. "We're really sorry, but he was desperate."
"When you gotta go, you gotta go," Raza chipped in.
"I see."
The policeman nodded, and for one splendid moment I thought he was going to leave us be. There'd be no harm done, and it wasn't worth dragging Mickey in on a public decency charge, not with all the paperwork that would entail. There was so much other crime to prosecute. He looked me up and down for the moment, and I was aware that Raza was sitting uncomfortably on his shooter while I had Mickey's beneath my seat. Finally, the policeman asked,
"Where are you all headed?"
I swallowed. What the fuck had Mickey told him? What if I said the wrong thing? The next thing I knew, Mickey's hand was coming up behind the policeman, and with one deft movement, he sent his head crashing into the half-open window. The copper's nose exploded against the edge of the glass, splattering blood over the wing mirror. "Fuck!" I exclaimed, as the copper's distorted face was rammed once again against the window with a sickening sound like fish guts hitting the sink. I saw a tooth crack clean in half, and the window turned pink as the copper's face smeared every which way. His helmet came off and fell to the ground, and then Mickey dragged the semi-conscious copper around to the rear of the van and opened the door. He threw the young policeman into the van and jumped in himself. "Get the fuck out of here!" Mickey screamed. "Drive!" The copper moaned, and Mickey kicked him forcefully in the stomach, sending the air from him in a huge, painful roar.
"Shut the fuck up, filth," Mickey said.
Raza laughed and said, "Kick the cunt again." I sped off, my mind racing faster than the drive shaft. This was not in the plan. What the fuck were we going to do with the copper?
"What the fuck are you doing?" I yelled over my shoulder at Mickey. "What did you bring him for?"
"He would have rumbled us," Mickey said. "I had no choice."
"He hasn't got a fucking clue what's going on," I screamed and cornered the van like a potential suicide.
"Yeah, but as soon as the filth heard the security go black," Raza put in, "they would have put two and two together."
"Well, he fucking knows about the job now," I said. "Top marks, Einstein."
"You taking a piss?" Raza snarled a question and prodded me with his shooter. I had no doubt that he would have used it, blown me apart there and then as I protested further. And so, I shut the fuck up and drove.
"We'll have to kill him," Mickey said,
and looked down at the policeman who was rolling about in the floor in agony, his face a bloody pulp. Mickey kicked him again, and Raza actually dropped his shooter and applauded like a man watching a theatre play that he particularly approved of.
"No fucking way," I said, and looked at Raza and then over my shoulder at Mickey. "I don't kill people."
"We got no choice," Raza said, "and besides, that ain't people. That's the filth. It's different."
"What?" I said, finding it more and more difficult to concentrate on my driving. Things had reached a point where everything seemed like some surreal nightmare dreamt up by Tarantino on amphetamine. I wondered if any of them would be actually capable of killing the copper, no more than a kid in uniform in cold blood. But I knew they both were.
please.
The policeman's frail voice broke into the three-way argument, but Mickey silenced him by punching him three times in quick succession. The copper's face, already more than a pulp, absorbed the blow like a sponge. Again, Raza laughed, and I felt sick to my stomach. I knew they were both not only capable of killing a copper, but that they would enjoy it, and probably torture him a little bit first. It was nothing to them. When this guy put on the uniform, he became fair game.
"What about the job?" I screamed, trying to bring some semblance and normality to the situation. "Let's just dump him somewhere and get on with the job. There's no need to kill anyone. Besides, what the fuck does he really know?"
"You'll make us," Mickey said.
"He had a good look at our faces," Raza said. "He'll identify us. My face is on a lot of police files."
"He fucking recognized me," Mickey said. "Fuck the job. There'll be other jobs. Up the sidings now."
He grabbed the pig's head, lifted it, and then smashed it down hard onto the floor of the vehicle.
"Shit! The sidings! Why?"
I asked.
"Dump the body down the old mine shafts," Mickey said coldly.
I didn't want any of this. Yeah, I was a thief. But a little more, just a chancer, the odd blagueur, maybe a drug deal from time to time, but now I was going to become a party to murder, and not just any murder, but the brutal killing of a policeman.
"We can blast a prick by one of the old shafts," Raza said with glee. "Let the body fall in, end of story, problem eradicated."
No,
I shook my head. I didn't give a shit about the job now. All I wanted was to get out of this without resorting to cold-blooded murder.
"You want to go back to the slammer?"
Raza grabbed me by the throat, but let go when the van swerved. "The pig'll make us, and we'll be back inside. Only this time they'll throw away the key. It's me or him, and I say the fucking copper gets it."
I cornered the van and took a quick glance back at the policeman. The poor fucker was sobbing like a baby, blood looking impossibly red on the twin balloons that were his lips. He was drifting in and out of consciousness.
"He's just a fucking kid," I said.
"That's tough," Raza said and shrugged his shoulders. "He should have thought about that before he put on the uniform. No one forced him to become filth. He dies." I knew it was inevitable. The cops chanced on us and was going to pay the ultimate price for it. There was no way out. He was going to die, and like it or not, I was involved right up to my neck. I slowed down, but my driving towards the sidings was still erratic. All the while I was praying beneath my breath that some patrolling cop squad car would chance upon us, pull over and stop this madness. No such luck. We reached the sidings, and I was aware of Mickey stamping on the copper's face and then grounding it out beneath his size 9s like a cigarette butt. I pulled the van over behind one of the walls of the old weighing stations. Absurdly, I remember the Clash coming onto the radio at that point. Some disc jockey had a sense of humour. I fought the law, and the law won.
Look, guys,
I pleaded one last time. Let's not do this. Mickey ignored me and kicked open the back doors, and with another boot to the policeman's stomach, sent him sprawling arse over tit onto the hard ground. He jumped out of the van, and Raza did likewise. I remained there in the driver's seat for how long, I don't know. But I heard both Mickey and Raza laughing and joking as they dragged the policeman, who was too weak to protest, over to one of the exposed shafts. I closed my eyes and kept my head bowed, praying over and over beneath my breath. Then I heard a single shot, and I knew it was all over. I looked at myself in the rearview mirror and saw a man who had aged 10 years in as many minutes, and something inside me told me that things would never be the same again. Like it or not, I'd stepped up into a different league. One that I was never intended for.
Thank you for listening to The Crime Wave. I'm your host, Seth Harwood. I hope you'll check out the rest of the stories here on Crime Wave and tell your friends about it. It's the CRIMEWAV. Help pass the word, register at our site so that you can participate in the forums and add comments to the episodes. You can email us with questions or comments at info@crimewave.com. Aldo, the mystery dog, and I will get your email, and we'll get back to you right quick. You can also call the K7 line, 206-350-4998, to leave comments or feedback. And if you leave a great message, we'll even play it at the end of a show. So drop a line, hop on the website, visit often, spread the word, and thank you for stopping by The Crime Wave.
And
back. It's a crime. It's a crime.